For European colonizers, Africa's forests held the promise of untold riches, ivory, rubber, and minerals. But unknown to the fortune seekers, those forests also held a virus that would claim over 30 million lives since the global spread of the epidemic. The authors of Tinderbox, Craig Timberg and Dr. Daniel Halperin, say in recent years, genetic researchers have traced the origins of human immune deficiency virus, or HIV, to the jungles of southeastern Cameroon. Halperin is a medical anthropologist and epidemiologist at the University of North Carolina, and until recently, the Harvard School of Public Health. He's also worked in AIDS prevention programs in Africa under the administration of President George W. Bush. Tim Berg, who is the former Johannesburg bureau chief for the Washington Post, says researchers compared the most prevalent and deadliest form of HIV to SIV, simian immune deficiency virus, found in local chimpanzees. He described their efforts at a recent lecture at the Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia.
They set up these collection stations across the range of where these chimpanzees were, across southern Cameroon, and they collected their waste. You know, the chimp feces carried remnants of the virus, and they could compare the particular chimpanzee viruses to the dominant form of HIV. And what they found was that over here, they're awfully close, and over here, they're even closer at the genetic level. But down here, in this southeastern corner, you almost can't tell the chimp virus and the HIV and the dominant form of HIV from one another. They're so almost perfectly identical. And that part of Cameroon is a place where even today not very many people live because it's very dense. The jungles are really thick. The rivers that go near there aren't very easy to navigate. And so throughout history, there weren't a lot of opportunities for humans and chimps to interact.
That changed with the arrival of railways, roads, and steamships. They carried goods from trading stations along Africa's most powerful river, the Congo, and its tributaries reaching deep into the rainforests. African men and women became laborers, carrying goods back and forth from the jungles to pay colonial taxes. Others were forced to work as porters. Local communities then, as today, killed chimps to sell as bushmeat. Scientists say it's likely the virus made the leap to humans when a hunter cut himself while handling an infected animal. New transportation routes meant the hunter and the virus were no longer confined to a remote and sparsely populated area where both were likely to eventually die.
There's an old porter path that's now a highway. I mean, it's still dirt, but it's a road even today. And that porter path came within about a mile of where the scientists collected the chimp waste that had the virus that's virtually identical to the version of HIV that's killed almost everybody who's died of AIDS.
Other elements were added to the tinderbox that would make a once localized illness combust. Changing customs made it easier to spread the virus. The colonial powers discouraged polygamy, which medical anthropologists say tended to create what they call a closed circuit that tended to limit sex to married partners. By contrast, younger generations, under the influence of Christianity, may have married a single partner, but also had ongoing relationships with others. Younger men were also less likely to participate in circumcision rituals, a widespread tradition in much of Africa that scientists have found largely protects men from HIV. A growing urban population led to the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, or STDs, in densely populated Leopoldville, now Kinshasa.
The historical record is very clear on the fact that you have this explosion of sexually transmitted disease. You have gonorrhea, you have chlamydia, you have syphilis, things that were not major problems before the Europeans arrived. Suddenly you have it at epidemic levels. And the Belgian colonials who are running this part of the world at this point are actually complaining to one another, why are birth rates plummeting? How are we going to be able to make a colonial economic machine without the labor that comes from high birth rates? And they thought that it had something to do with polygamy, they thought, oh, well, the one man, 33 wives, that's a disaster. Turned out it had to do with STDs. The women were sick. And what we now know further is that HIV was one of the sexually transmitted diseases that was moving about that part of the world at a low-level but persistent way for decades.
Tim Berg says with modern rail, ship, and airlines, it was only a matter of time before the virus became widespread. Different subtypes moved toward East Africa and Southern Africa. One made the leap across the Atlantic Ocean. Today, he says, scientists believe the introduction of the virus to the Americas probably happened in the 1960s and 70s through Haiti. At the same time as Congolese independence, thousands of Haitians were fleeing the dictatorship of François Papadoc Duvalier. Some were officially encouraged to take part in a UN-sponsored program recruiting Francophone professionals to serve in Congo, which lacked sufficient university-educated civil servants and civic leaders.
So the United Nations brings in a bunch of French-speaking expatriates from Haiti and from other countries to be nurses and doctors and teachers and technocrats, and it looks very much as though one of them contracts HIV in Kinshasa, flies back to Haiti, and every single strain of HIV they now contract in Europe or the Americas can be traced back to that single original infection in Haiti.
5 years ago, a group of international scientists at the 14th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections in Los Angeles confirmed this theory. They presented their conclusions based on genetic analysis of HIV samples. They said the strain found in Haiti had probably been brought from Africa in 1966. Haiti was also a center of blood donations shipped to the U.S. to make products for hemophiliacs. And it was a popular holiday destination for gay men from North America. It's thought they probably facilitated the spread of the disease. It's thought they probably facilitated the spread of the disease in the U.S. and Europe through anal sex. Scientific research has disproved other theories of the origins of HIV, including the idea that it was spread mainly by mass inoculations for polio in the 1950s, in part through unclean syringes. Tim Berg says the parts of Africa where the inoculations were performed do not have especially high rates of HIV infection. This is in contrast to areas with low circumcision rates, which do. Others say HIV was created by Western intelligence agencies or began in the gay community in San Francisco in the 1970s. But tissue and blood samples kept by medical officials in Congo have been found to contain the virus in or around Kinshasa as early as 1959. And recent research puts the birth of the virus in the forests of Cameroon about a century ago. A few years ago, University of Arizona epidemiologist Michael Warraby traced HIV to the beginning of the 20th century. He created a genetic family tree for the virus by comparing two 50-year-old lab samples found in the Congolese capital. Tim Berg explains they had similar genetic structures linking them to a common ancestor.
For quite some years now, there's been a piece of historic virus that came from what is now Kinshasa, used to be Leopoldville, from 1959, that existed in some old blood samples. What this scientist in the University of Arizona did, Michael Warraby, the one who gave me the tinderbox metaphor, he managed to dig up a second piece of historic virus that they found in the biopsies of lymph nodes from, I believe it was a woman living in Kinshasa in 1960. And so once you had two pieces of virus that were that old in the same basic time frame, you could then determine if they were very similar or not so similar. And what he determined is that they were dissimilar enough that they couldn't have been born from a common ancestor in the last few years. That in fact, to get the mutations that they could see in the genome, it had to have been several decades earlier. And the time frame that he put together with his research was sometime between 1884 and 1924. The virus, there was a common ancestor. There was a virus there in the Congo River Basin that was sort of the grandfather of all of this.
Understanding the origins of the virus and the environment in which it developed, say the authors, is essential to improving efforts to fight the epidemic. They say the effects of colonialism can still be felt today in solutions to the epidemic in Africa, devised largely by the West. They say curbing the spread of HIV on the continent should not rely solely on large sums of money and the latest biomedical tools. The effort must also include an understanding of cultural subtleties and behaviors that can mean the success or failure of the war against the disease. I'm William Eagle in Washington.